A mysterious paralysis is killing wild elk in southern Wyoming. Nearly 300 have died so far. Tests for obvious causes, such as the disease brucellosis and chronic wasting disease, have come up negative, as have tests for other viruses, bacteria, and plant toxins. Wildlife experts are baffled by the problem, but continue their investigation. Wyoming Public Radio's Andrew Grace joined some of the researchers on their quest to unravel the mystery.
Well, we're on our way to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department's daily unit.
It's 5:30 in the morning, and Tom Reed of Wyoming Game and Fish is behind the wheel of a green Ford pickup. He's making his way through a growing snowstorm near Elk Mountain in southern Wyoming.
It's about 15 miles southwest of Rawlins, Wyoming.
3 weeks ago, one of Reed's colleagues was making his regular rounds when he met up with a couple of coyote hunters. The men told him they'd made a strange discovery near Daly Ranch. They led him to where a couple of elk lay, alive but paralyzed. The elk were taken to the state veterinary lab in Laramie, where Walt Cook was one of the first to examine them.
There was nothing spectacular about them. They had some hemorrhages across the back, and so we thought that they had undergone some form of trauma and didn't think that much of it, really. And then we got calls that a couple days after that, that there were more elk and a lot of elk that were starting to come down.
Soon, the death toll had reached nearly 300, all afflicted with the same bizarre paralysis. Some of the sick elk end up here, in the necropsy room at the state lab. Pam Wilson, a veterinary student from Colorado State University, helped with some of the examinations, both here and in the field. Wilson's a Wyoming native, but says she's never heard of a die-off like this.
No, I haven't. I mean, I grew up in Jackson, and I've been around, you know, big game wildlife quite a bit, and I've never seen anything like it. My first impression was just it was sad, because the elk were unable to, you know, get away, and they were pretty much, they'd stand up and then tumble back down to the ground. And then just the fear in walking up to a wild animal is tough to do.
Unable to move, the animals either die of starvation, fall victim to predators, or are euthanized by state agents. In order to better understand what's happening, the state lab has requested a live elk to study. Agents have been feeding one sick animal in the field until she can be moved to the lab. We meet up with wildlife biologist Greg Hyatt and head out to check on her. The road is a messy two-track, recently thawed, with gaping muddy holes. A large herd of antelope bounds across the road in front of us. They aren't affected by what's ailing the elk. Again, Tom Reed.
As you can see, the antelope are in great shape. You know, they're acting just like you'd expect antelope to act. You know, they're running from us, and you'd expect elk to be like that, but these elk here are not.
After traveling the almost impassable trail for a couple of miles, we come upon the elk. In the distance, we can see her head moving.
You bring hay?
I didn't bring any hay.
I didn't either.
She struggles to get away, but can't move her legs. We don't want to stress her, so we stand back about 300 yards and watch her for a moment.
And that's why, you know, for us wildlife guys, it's heartbreaking, you know. We're going to try and get her to a holding facility and observe her and, you know, basically see what we can do for her.
She doesn't look any better, but she doesn't look any worse.
Hyatt's not surprised that she's still alive, and we leave the elk, knowing that soon she will be transported to the lab in Laramie. As we drive back on the rutted road, he talks about the frustrations facing the department.
What do we do next? This has been going on for weeks now, and every step of it of the way, you're wondering, well, what else can we be doing? What else should we be doing?
One thing they're doing is euthanizing sick elk in the field, keeping them from an agonizing death by thirst and starvation. Hyatt says in the 26 years he's been with the department, this is one of the hardest things he's ever had to do.
Well, about half of them, it was real easy. They were so stressed out, obviously visually suffering. You know, you're glad you're there to do your job, maybe wishing you were there a day earlier. But half of it was hard.
For NPR News, I'm Andrew Beck Grace in Laramie.